Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. As we walk through, and I do say walk because I urge you to pay attention. Look around you from the point of view of the liturgy. Look at the prayers. Look at the scripture passages. We are in the Easter season. This is a time when we can see so clearly the action of God on behalf of us. For so many days, we think, oh, this is just ordinary life, and we can easily forget about God, so to speak, because of all that is coming in on us from every side. Our responsibilities, the surprises, the emergencies, the all kinds of things can come in on us, and we can forget. Easter is not past. We are celebrating 50 days of Easter. This is the time to look around you. Look for the action of God. I guarantee if you look with eyes of faith, you will see. You really will see. God wants to build your faith, strengthen you. Look around you. Look for the acts of mercy that are going on. Look at the people standing firm for the gospel. Look at the quiet, almost hidden sometimes, acts of generosity that are going on. Ask God to open your ears and open your eyes to see what he's about, because it's so easy, isn't it, to just go through life getting one foot in front of the other and paying attention to the things you absolutely have to, and you don't have any more energy for anything else. But life is blossoming around us, new life, life in Christ. People newly baptized, people newly confirmed, people newly married, people received into the church who have been away for a long time. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who have no need of repentance. Ask God to show you what he's about. Say, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear, that I may see the hidden beauty, the hidden blossoming that's going on, that which isn't fully evident yet, but you can see the seeds of it. You can see the tiny blossoms, the beginning of fruit. Look around you. Ask God to show you. Say, oh, I don't see anything. It's just same old, same old. It's because you don't have eyes of faith. And I'm not saying you make it up. But I'm saying if you have eyes of faith and you say, Lord, show me what you're about. Give me just a little inkling of what you're about right where I live, in my area, my neighborhood, my parish, my workplace. You may be very surprised. Let me know. All right, let's take a look at the first reading for today. This is from Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15. Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. So here's a new disciple following the Lord. He's filled with grace and power. He's working great wonders and signs among the people. Wouldn't you think we'd rejoice that there were wonders and miracles being done among God's people? And yet, look at the next verse. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen. They didn't agree with him, so they were debating. Now, if they were genuine seekers, they were looking for the truth and were open to it. But look at what happens here. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. See, whatever questions they threw at him, he was able to answer them in such a way that they couldn't refute it. And instead of opening their hearts to Christ, who is the source of the truth and the wisdom and the goodness that Stephen is displaying, instead of that, what do? They instigated some men to say, we have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. He didn't utter any blasphemy. But their pride, you see, their pride is pricked. Stephen, in one level, is getting the better of them, and he's not trying to best them. That's not what he's about. He's about simply proclaiming what God has done for us in Christ. They don't like it. How many times do we shut off something that's true because somehow it pricks our pride? Somehow we don't have that kind of wisdom. So instead of saying, teach me the wisdom you have, I want to hear more, what do? They utter falsehood to entice men to say, we have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who testified, this man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law. He never uttered a word against the holy place and the law, but they're challenged by what Stephen's saying. They're challenged. And it would mean, if they accept the challenge, it would mean they would have to give up certain ways of believing. And they're too proud to do that. So what do? You try to attack. You try to put down the one who is speaking truth. You try to find fault with him. You accuse him. Pride is evil, brothers and sisters. It can lead to great evil. What are you doing with pride in your own life? Because on Judgment Day, it's going to be very interesting. If in your pride you end up accusing the servants of God, and in a certain way God himself, be very careful of any accusation. Very careful. Because pride has a way of blinding us and deafening us. We have heard him claim that this Jesus, the Nazarene, will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us. All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel, pure, filled with light. Here is one being falsely accused. Do they step back and ask themselves some hard questions? Or do they accept the accusation? How many times when someone is ridiculing or speaking against a person, you might not totally disagree, but you keep silent, don't want to cause any trouble. And so in a certain way, especially if you know what they're saying is a lie, you might want to pull them aside and say, what you're saying is not the truth. You don't have to accuse somebody in front of a crowd, but you don't want lies to spread. How willing are you to stand up for the truth? Psalm 119, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. One of my most favorite psalms, the longest psalm in Scripture. But it speaks about how good are God's ways, how his statutes and his precepts and his deeds will lead us in the way of truth. The way of truth I have chosen. I have set your ordinances before me. Please don't mouth words. Mean what you say. Do you put God's word ahead of everything else? Ahead of your pride? Do you? And the gospel for today is from John chapter 6, verses 22 to 29. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. And when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him across the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered them and said, Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. In other words, you're following me, not so much because of my message, but because I fed you. I gave you food. Now, God can use that. God can use that to draw us into a relationship with him. He can give us certain benefits. Certain things happen. You say, oh, thank you, God. But don't stop there. Don't stop and say, oh, God, thank you very much. Because often when God wants to reveal himself more to you, he draws you through the blessings that you've asked for and the blessings that are given, then allow those blessings to draw you closer to him rather than, oh, thank you, God, and then you go back to life as it is. When God reveals himself, when God blesses you, when God holds a gift out to you, receive it, thank him, but then don't turn around and walk away. Draw closer to him. When they found him across the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered them and said, Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Now look at this. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, the Father, God has set his seal. So they said to him, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. In other words, don't stop just at the external gifts or the external blessings. Look for the one who is the source of those blessings. Always, brothers and sisters, when we receive answers to prayer, when we receive gifts from God, allow those blessings to draw you closer to him. Not, oh, my goodness, I've been on a novena. I've prayed for 30 days for this and it has been granted me. Oh, good. Now I can go back to life as usual. No. The blessing of God should draw you into deeper intimacy with him. I don't mean that it needs to multiply the number of your works, but it does mean that you need to seek him more, to draw nearer to him, thanking him every day for the blessings that he has given you and the things that he has done for you. At the same time saying, Lord, teach me, draw me to yourself, open up my heart, that I might become more and more a disciple. See, brothers and sisters, God isn't this, you know, big Santa Claus who just gives out gifts to us. This is Jesus, the very Son of God, the beloved Son of the Father, who desires union with you for all eternity. He wants a relationship with you. It's what he prizes over everything else. So allow his blessings and gifts to draw you closer to him. Give him a little more time. Make psalms of thanksgiving part of your daily prayer. Draw near to him, always asking him, Lord, how can I serve you? What can I do? May God abundantly bless us and lead us, that we may draw closer and closer to God. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.